The Israel Report with Rolene Marx for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Good afternoon, Rolene Marx. How are you this Wednesday? Let's start that
when
again.
When I jiggle around these cords and all the things, you know, these gremlins, I shake them out.
Excellent. Well shaken. Rolene, just tell us about this attempted terror attack. What happened?
Well, this is breaking news that has come in little under an hour ago, and an attempt to stab soldiers at the Eliash Junction near the entrance to the town of Kiryat Arba took place this afternoon at about 4:30. If you know where Kiryat Arba is, it's very, very close to Hebron, and thank goodness the attacker who ran towards our soldiers who were standing guard was neutralized.
All right, at least that's a story that that ended reasonably well, although this shouldn't happen. Tell us about Hamas meeting Fatah.
Well, it looks like they have now, after months of not talking, it seems that Hamas and Fatah are prepared to meet in Cairo in Egypt, and this comes from a high-ranking Hamas delegation in Cairo who said that they are prepared to hold reconciliatory talks with Fatah. They released the statement on Monday night following a meeting between their representatives led by Ismail Haniyeh and the Egyptian intelligence chief Khalid Fawzi. And it seems like Egypt will be the broker in any kind of agreement. And we've seen that tensions between the two parties have escalated of late, the latest escalation being the issue surrounding the amount of electricity that Fatah controls for the Gaza Strip. And I think the situation there has become so untenable that perhaps this is a contributing factor that has forced the hand of Hamas.
What is the history of the relationship between between these two, I'm not even sure what to call them, between these two parties?
Well, it has been a very, very tense relationship. One party believes that they are the spokespeople or they are the leadership of the Palestinians. The other believes that it is theirs. There has been a lot of internecine fighting over the years. We know that any times that there have been elections, especially in the Gaza Strip, anybody who is not supportive of Hamas but rather supportive of Fatah, who is seen as the opposition, has been summarily executed or tortured. The tensions have escalated over the last few months because Fatah has asked Israel to switch off or not supply electricity to the Gaza Strip. There is a lot of tension and vying for political control between the two entities, and there is a fear that Hamas may encroach very much into the West Bank or the disputed territories. And this is a concern not just for the state of Israel, but for Fatah as well.
It's definitely worth keeping an eye on this story. Another one that I wanted to ask you about is that Congress sends condemnation with regard to white supremacists to Trump for him to sign. What is going on there?
Well, this was actually very interesting. So the Congress or the House has approved on a resolution calling on President Trump to speak out against hate groups and urging that there are resources set aside for combating racism and anti-Semitism. And we have seen an alarming rise coming from the alternative right or the far right, as well as neo-Nazis, which are firmly embedded in that camp. So what this entails is that they voted on Tuesday, and they have now tabled a resolution which goes directly to President Trump, who has been vastly criticized for his response following the rally in Charlottesville just a couple of weeks ago. And the sponsors of this resolution, who are Senators Mark Warner and Tim Kaine, who are Democrats of Virginia, and Republican Senators Cory Gardner of Colorado, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Johnny Isaacson of Georgia. So they've used use this kind of mechanism that now requires the president's signature. And this, although it's a non-binding resolution, this requires a majority vote, as they stop very, very short of being a law. But with Trump's signature, this would commit some kind of action to follow this. And the resolution states that it rejects white nationalism, white supremacy, and neo-Nazism as hateful expressions of intolerance that are contradictory to the values that define the people of the United States. The resolution goes on to ask the president to speak out against hate groups that promote racism, extremism, xenophobia, anti-Semitism, and white supremacy, and use all the resources available to the president and the president's cabinet to address the growing prevalence of those hate groups in the United States. So this comes after President Trump said that there were good people on both sides of the rally and criticized those who wanted to remove Confederate monuments as an attack on America's history and culture. And this, of course, drew a lot of condemnation. So it seems that the joint houses are using whatever mechanisms are available to them to call for some kind of action.
I wonder if it's if they're really testing Trump over this. Almost pushing him
to say, all right, let's see. I wonder if the, you know, if the intention is not, or you know, let me put my teeth back in, firstly or foremostly motivated by altruism. I think that there definitely is an element of showing Trump just how powerful the joint houses can be. Look, I for one applaud this resolution. I think that all resources and sources need to be made available to fight this horrendous scourge. This absolutely horrendous scourge of growing racism, anti-Semitism, and intolerance. And I think this is
forcing
Trump.
Yeah, there should be no confusion about where Trump stands on this. There's no justification for not signing it or not supporting opposition to racism. There should be nothing stopping him. So if he's not going to sign it, well, that is an indication.
Well, I think also it demonstrates or they're showing the upper hand. You know, he is a political novice. And he has a lot to learn insofar as how laws and resolutions are passed in the upper houses of legislation in America. So I think that this is a big lesson done possibly in the most tactful way possible to force Trump's hand to actually do something about anti-Semitism, racism, and the like. And I'm really hoping that this resolution, although I haven't looked at the wording myself, extends to all environments where this kind of action takes place so that it can include college campuses.
Rolene, we've got a bit of a job for you, and because we were talking about the story that came from Times of Israel earlier, and I think we need your assistance in it. Times of Israel reported that Israel's High Court won't hear about a man claiming to be the Messiah. Did you see the story?
Well, you know what? I think the issue here is that this is Israel, and there are several people who actually do have Messiah complexes. In fact, if you go to Jerusalem,
you see, there you are being so judgmental. You've already written him off as having a complex. Maybe he is the Messiah, and we're just refusing to listen to him.
Well, don't they say that when the Messiah comes, the lion will lie with the lamb, and there will be peace on earth and
things? Yeah. All right, so maybe he's not the Messiah. That's what you're really saying. Although he is saying
he's a very naughty boy.
All right, straight out of Monty Python. But he's got apparently he has had word directly from the creator of the world, and he's got a massive responsibility. The whole fate of the world rests on his shoulders. And would you believe that Israel Supreme Court, the justices, especially Noam Solberg, refused to engage or debate the issue with him?
Well, I can't answer to whether or not he is the Messiah because I've yet to meet a Messiah.
Right.
I have met a few people in Jerusalem who do suffer
from
the Jerusalem syndrome. And I did see a guy outside the Shuka Kamel in Tel Aviv when I arrived, complete with his de rigueur noch Schlepper, who claimed to be the Messiah. I wonder if it is the same person.
I wonder. He apparently he wrote a book, and he apparently went to court before to try and force Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to read his book. And the courts then again wouldn't, they wouldn't compel the Prime Minister to read his book. So we actually don't know what's in anything that he's saying. And that's really what I'd love to find out. Maybe he does hold within his, within the papers or pages that he's written, directly from God, of course. Maybe he does hold the answers to world peace and we're just not listening.
That could be the, and maybe he's demonstrating his wrath by sending a lot of balaguns around the world. But I don't know, you know, one man's Meshuggah is another man's Messiah. I don't know.
Rolene Marks, that's where we're going to leave it. Time is 20 minutes past five. Thank you, as always. Sorry for throwing that curveball at you. But I just thought maybe, you know, maybe you would have some real insight into what, in fact, the creator of the universe did mention to this bloke. It's 5:20. That's your Israel report brought to you by the Blue Agency.